Once upon a time, there was a leader who decided to renovate an old church. He'd seen that old church for a number of years, but he didn't really know the history of it. Once it had been a beautiful place that had been constructed with a vision to glorify the Lord. People at one time came from far and near to worship and be part of what was going on in this magnificent church building. But as time went by, people began to neglect that old church. They even began to neglect the Lord who was worshiped there. And other things just seemed to become more important to them. And before long, they had kind of forgotten that it was even there. Finally, the time came when being seen at that church was kind of an embarrassment to people. I don't want people to see me going into that old place. They couldn't believe there had been a time when they had been so narrow-minded. And the words they heard in the church today made them uncomfortable. It even made them feel guilty sometimes. And they didn't like it. So they started finding other places to go that weren't so demanding. The new worship used new teachings that said what people wanted to hear more than what they needed to hear. Before long, they built new places to go to match their new beliefs. And eventually, that magnificent old church was forgotten. The doors were closed. The holy books were set aside. The old beliefs were neglected for a long, long time. It was about that time that the new leader took charge. He'd heard stories about how God used to be worshiped in that old church. He had heard about how that old church at one time had been filled with people coming to worship the Lord. And he thought, this place ought to be restored. He had a selfish motive. He wanted to worship in that church himself. So he hired local artists and craftsmen to make the old church look new again. He knew he was doing a good thing. He had no idea how his life was about to change because of what was going on in that old church. You see, a day came when his assistant visited the construction site and he came back with some exciting news. A priest had found some of the old books that had been forgotten. They'd been hidden away in that old church, and the leader said, well, bring them in and read them to me. I want you to read them aloud right in front of me. And as his assistant read, God used those words to break that leader's heart. He began to see his own sin. He began to realize how much he needed the Lord. He realized that the things that had been forgotten were the things that mattered the most. He called everybody together to hear what was being said in that word. And what happened in the leader's heart happened in the hearts of all of the people. And they started coming back to church and they began to hear the word again. And lives began to be changed. And an entire nation was transformed because one priest found an old, dusty book. And it changed the lives of a nation. It's a great story. It's a true story. Happened over 2,500 years ago. It's recorded in 2 Chronicles 34 and 35. The new leader was the king. His name was King Josiah. And he was the one who wanted to rebuild the temple of the Lord. And in the midst of the temple of the Lord, that old dusty book they found was the Bible. It was the Word of God. And because of what the Word told them, the entire nation of Judah experienced a revival that would last not for a month and not for a year, but for an entire generation and beyond. Everything was different because of the Word of God. You see, everything changes when you realize what you're holding in your hands. I've been encouraging you these last couple of weeks to bring your Bible. Have it with you. Lift it up and hold it physically. I know you can use your telephone. I know there are all kinds of ways that you can access the Bible, and they are rich and they are real, but there's just something about holding that Bible in your hands that makes it real. When we realize what we hold, it changes everything. You see, faith comes alive when the Word has its way in you. So many times we are tempted to take the Bible for granted. After all, it's always been there. It will always be there. You don't have to worry about whether you can find access to a Bible. If you don't have one in your hands, you can look in the dresser of your hotel room. You can look in a hospital room because of Gideon's. They take care of that. You can find probably a number of Bibles in your home, in your car, where you travel. There's always access to the Bible, and because of that, we can be tempted to take it all for granted. I mean, we know, we admit, we declare it is a divinely inspired book, just like our children learned a little while ago. But we neglect to let the Bible do its work in our lives, very much like the people in King Josiah's day. We reached that point where we began to say, you know what, set it aside, let it collect dust. We can live our lives just fine without the Bible. We don't need to know what it says, nor do we need to do what it tells us. And so we don't take time to study and apply what God has revealed. But it's time for us to remember what you're holding whenever you touch a Bible. I love what 2 Timothy says. It says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Inspiration of God. That means the Lord divinely worked through those who wrote the Bible to give us a book that is absolutely true and trustworthy. Do you know how many books there are in the world that are true and trustworthy the way the Bible is? None. Not any. They all change. Sometimes it's interesting to me that you hear the controversies go on about conflict between science and Scripture, which really means Scripture's just waiting on science to catch up. And here's the interesting thing is, while textbooks are written again and again, over and over, and corrected and improved, the Bible stands the same year after year after year. Nothing needs to be corrected. Nothing needs to be improved. It's there. It's rich. And it's real. You can build your life on what it tells you. You can bet your everlasting destiny upon the truth of Scripture. I love something that Christian referred to a while ago. You see, while we say all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, that word that's translated inspiration can also be translated as breathed. Now, why is that so important? Because when God created Adam back in Genesis 2:7, it says, the Lord breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and that man became a living being. Now, I love the word soul better than I do being. I love to be able to say, God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and that man became a living soul. Now, why is that so important? Because when you think of someone as a soul, you recognize that that youngest baby that's just been born is an eternal creation of God, and that life will never end because it's God breathed. It's the breath of God that gave man life. And the same thing happened with the inspiration of Scripture. God made it a living word. As surely as he made Adam a living soul, he makes the Bible a living word. And it speaks to our lives. And that's what makes the Bible so important. It contains God's truth. But more than that, God has given it life. And that's why sometimes when you pick up the Bible and you read it, because you're dealing with issues in your life, maybe they're troubles that you're dealing with, maybe they're needs that you have, maybe you just want to know what is God saying, and you pick it up and you read the Word, and all of a sudden you go, whoa, God wrote that just now, just for me, because this is just what I needed. What's happening? The living Word is speaking into your life. That's what God designed it to do. It's an eternal word. His truth will never fail. It doesn't just teach us about the Lord. It brings us into the presence of the Lord. And every time you pick up this holy book, you come into the presence of Almighty God. Do you realize that? Every time you pick up this Bible, God is there. And if we really understood how powerful it is, then every time you touch the Bible, your heart would beat a little faster. Because you'd realize, I've been invited into the presence of God. You'd never approach it casually. You take advantage of every opportunity to open its pages. Your faith will come alive when you let the Word have its way. Why does the Lord give us this powerful instrument that we call the Bible? Does He just want us to have a grasp of the facts? Is He telling us stories? Is He teaching us rules? What is God's purpose in giving us His Word? God has a dynamic purpose for the Bible. This is what God wants to do through the Bible in your life. He wants to transform you into the image of Christ. That's why it's a dangerous book to handle if you just want to be casual about it, because He is using His Word to change you, to make you into a different person, to conform you to Jesus. And you better be careful if you don't want to be changed. 2 Timothy sums it up this way. It says it gives you doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. In other words, it tells you what you need to know and shows you how you need to live. It is profitable for doctrine, what to believe. The Bible tells you the truth. What do I need to believe about life? What do I need to believe about eternity? What do I need to believe about myself? What do I need to believe about God? The Bible tells you. It tells you the truth. And you can grab hold of it and hang on to it. It's never going to let you down. It will never fail. It is profitable for reproof. It tells you what not to believe. The Bible unmasks the lies that Satan and the world around you want to tell you. The Bible exposes those lies and reveals them for what they are, so that you can no longer believe, it's really all about me. I can never believe again. When you die, and that's the end of who you are. I can never believe. I can sin any way I want to, and there are no consequences. You can never believe those things, because the Bible is profitable for reproof, for seeing those things and showing them, for exposing them for what they are. And it is profitable for correction. What to stop doing. What does the Bible do? The Bible gives you God's boundaries. Not because God is saying, I don't want you to enjoy your life. Not because God is saying, I don't want you to do things. It is giving you boundaries so that you will stay in a safe place. A few years ago, when Judith and I decided it's probably time for us to have a puppy again, before we could ever buy that puppy, we had to put a fence around our backyard. Because he needed to know, these will be your boundaries. In the same way, God in His Word says to us, these will be your boundaries. As long as you stay inside the boundaries, your life will be safe. You will flourish and you will grow. But if you get outside the boundaries, you're walking into a dangerous world, a world that wants to destroy you. And you better be careful and get back in where you belong. So he gives us correction in order that we might know these are the boundaries. And then he gives us instruction. Instruction in righteousness. Not only does he tell us what to stop doing, he also tells us what to start doing. These are God's directions for living. This is what will bring lasting joy into your life. This is what will give your life purpose and meaning. These are your instructions for righteousness. You could say this, the Bible is God's Google map. It is dynamically committed to keeping you on track, showing you where you are and where you need to be, and getting you there safely so that you can know I have arrived at the place where I want to be. And as long as you're actively committed to living and believing and applying the Word, God will do all of those things for you. So here's the question you need to ask. But is there ever a time when God stops speaking to you through His Word? And the answer is yes. Yes. When will God stop speaking to you in His Word? Whenever you resist His leadership. I don't want to hear what you're saying. I don't want to do what you're telling me to do. Whenever you reject His authority. You have no right to command me. You have no reason to tell me how I should live. God will stop speaking to you until you're ready to listen again. Have you ever tried to talk to somebody and you realize they're not paying any attention at all? You know, you're trying to carry on a conversation. They're not paying any attention to you. Too many times these days, you're pouring out your heart to somebody. Oh, you're sharing with them, this is where I'm struggling. This is where I'm hurting. This is what I'm needing. What do you think I should do? And they say, what? And you realize they're paying no attention. So what decision do you make? I'll just be quiet. I'll shut up. When you're ready to listen, then I'll talk again. You know who invented that method? The Lord God Almighty. He made the decision with His people, if you're not listening, I'll stop talking. Why waste my breath when you're not paying attention? How do I know that's true? There's a passage in Isaiah 30:18 that says this, therefore the Lord will wait that He may be gracious to you. And therefore He will be exalted that He may have mercy on you. Therefore the Lord will wait. I'm looking at the Bible. Doesn't say anything to me. Don't see anything in it. What's going on? He's waiting. You're not listening. He stops talking when you're not listening, but when you're paying attention, He makes another promise. Just a few verses later in Isaiah 30:21. It says, your ears will hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left. When you're listening, He starts speaking again. When you're paying attention to His Word, then He begins to reveal Himself to you. So remember this, if you feel as though the Bible is not speaking to you these days, the problem is not with the Bible. The problem is you're not listening. And Timothy reminds us this, but you will be changed when the Word has its way. Timothy says the purpose of the Word is that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So how do you open your life to the power of the Word? What do you do when you think, it's time for me to listen again? I need to be a be paying attention to what the Lord is saying in His Word. Well, there's several things you've got to do. One is this: you have to read the Bible regularly. Don't think if you've been treating the Lord casually and if you're coming to His Word incidentally that somehow you're going to discover great spiritual truth. Now, there may be some times when the Lord will strike you with lightning out of the power of His Word, but most of the time, if you just think every now and then, you know, once a month, when I'm bored, maybe I'll read something in the Bible and expect it to speak. Just doesn't work that way. There has to be a regular, daily commitment to the Word of God. That doesn't mean that every day you're going to have some deep revelation, but it does mean that every time you read the Word, God is at work in your soul, and He's softening your heart, and He's preparing your spirit, and when the time comes that you need that Word, you will hear a voice, and it will say, "This is the way, walk in it." But you have to expose yourself. Not only do you have to read it regularly, you also have to believe the Bible completely. You can't say, "Well, I like this part, but I don't care for this part. I'll read out of this book. I really like the Gospels. But I don't think I want to read out of the Old Testament because it's harder to understand." You have to believe from beginning to end, this is the Word of God. Some years back, I remember we had our state stewardship director come and speak to the church when I was there in Haleville. And he began to talk about the subject of tithing. And he said, "You know, I think tithing is what we do in a church." And he said, "You know, some people say that we don't have to tithe anymore as Christians because the New Testament doesn't say anything at all about it. That's an Old Testament teaching." Which is true. But then he went on and he said this: "But you know, I believe if the Bible says it once, it's true." Well, that's not just true about stewardship. That's true about everything. If the Bible says it once, it's true. So I believe it completely. I can't pick and choose. You know, one of the famous versions of the New Testament that you can travel to Monticello and see today is Thomas Jefferson's Bible. But it's different from any other Bible that you're ever going to see. You see, Thomas Jefferson made a decision in his mind: "I don't believe in miracles." So he went through the New Testament and he took out every reference to a miracle, whether it was something Jesus did or something that happened in the book of Acts. And he put it all back together as the Bible he preferred to read. We can all be tempted to do exactly the same thing. Oh, maybe we don't cut and paste the way he did, but sometimes we will say, "Well, I like believing this part, but I don't like believing that part." But if the Bible has the authority that it claims to have, we have to believe it completely. It is the Word of God. And then finally, you have to apply it personally. I have to take what I have read and what I believed and make it part of who I am. And then God changes things. There's an old hymn: "Trust and obey." That's it. If I could sum up everything I've said for the last 25 minutes, trust and obey. That's how we approach the Word of God. And when we do, God will do in our lives exactly what He did in the life of King Josiah. And He will do in our land the same thing He did in the land of Judah. When people get serious about knowing God through the power of His Word, trust and obey. One of the most important things you need to trust and obey about the Bible is what it tells us about Jesus Christ as Savior. And it simply says, God sent His Son to be the Savior of the world, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that's the only way. The only way. And maybe you're here today and you're not a Christian. You're not a believer. Oh, you might be a religious person, but you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. And if you need to trust Him, in just a moment, we're going to be standing and singing an invitation hymn. And I'll be here at the front, and you can come here, and I'll be glad to introduce you to Jesus. Or after the service, you can find me or one of our staff members and say, I want to trust Jesus as my Savior. And we'll help you do that. Or maybe God wants you to be part of this fellowship because this is a Bible-believing place. And if that's what you're looking for, this is a great place to plant your membership. Maybe there's something else God wants you to do. We're going to stand, we're going to sing. And as we sing, if God speaks to your heart, you come. Let's stand together. Let's sing. It's been a good day in God's house. I'm glad we were here together. Looking forward to tonight, Andy Under the Stars. Bring your lawn chair, bring your blanket. We're going to gather out here, going to have a great time. Brian Sprayberry is going to lead us through our Andy study tonight, and he's got a good one in store. And you never know who's going to show up. I got a text from Jim last week after it was over. It said, tonight I counted 99 people and 2 rabbits. So you never know who's going to show up. I look forward to seeing you there. If you've never been before, give it a try. If you've been before, all you need to know is we've got a great study coming up, and I've got some good snacks on the way. So 6 o'clock this evening, right out front on the lawn. We look forward to it. Let's bow together now for one final prayer and then a last song as we dismiss. Father, we do thank You for the power of Your Word. We thank You, Lord, for its transforming strength in the lives of those who believe. And Father, we want to pray, help us always to be people of the Word, people of the book, so that, Lord, we can know that You are honored through our lives and our obedience to Your Word. Father, bless us as we go from this place, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.